Cody, getting back to you, before the break, I asked you a pointed question. With everything, especially that you've revealed about the CIA, their entrenchments, the drug dealing, the government, the corruption, why should the average American have any trust, not only in the CIA, but then by extension, the government as a whole? Why should we have any trust in it?
We shouldn't have any trust. You know, we should be vigilant and, you know, learn to listen with your mind and compare many data points, and hopefully they'll converge somewhere to the truth. But we're living in a sea right now of propaganda and deception. What we're facing now, you know, with Google and Twitter, Facebook, and all the media control, all the shadow government activities, the trillions of dollars that are missing from the Pentagon budget that Donald Rumsfeld spoke about right before 9/11, all this points to this big black shadow government, and it's been growing and growing quietly and secretly like a tumor in the body of our country. And we should not trust any of it. We've been lied to over and over. Richard Nixon, look at him, you know, Vietnam. Look at the all the record crop of opium that was coming out of Afghanistan. We've been in there over, 15 years. We've been lied to and lied to and lied to over and over and over again. Colin Powell and the weapons of mass destruction, the prelude to the Iraq War. All that was disinformation and lies. And so we're swimming in a sea of this stuff. And most Americans, I think, are fed up with it. A lot of them don't care, and they're apathetic. But I got a quote here from Abraham Lincoln. He says, this is in the book, chapter 2, says, "I am not bound to win, but I'm bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live. By the light that I have, I must stand with anybody that stands right and stand with him while he is right and part with him when he goes wrong." And, you know, we should not trust any of these politicians. We should not trust the bankers. The TARP bailout, 2008, is a classic example. The Troubled Asset Relief Program. The bankers all got fat, got big bonuses, and a lot of people lost their houses and lost their jobs. And the people are getting screwed, and the corporations and the bankers and the politicians are all getting fat. They're running our country into debt, decade after decade, both parties, Democrat, Republican. They are looting our country slowly, and the corporations are growing bigger and bigger with more control, and we're losing more and more of our personal freedoms. And if this continues, we're going to fall into the New World Order. I don't think we should trust any of them. We should be vigilant. And shows like yours and the other shows and people, you know, researching and looking facts up for themselves, that's what we've got to do, because you can't trust the mainstream media anymore. They've been caught lying over and over and over.
One of the biggest lies, let's go a little deeper on just that thought. Gary Webb, of course, is the reporter in the early 90s that basically broke the story that the biggest crack dealer in Los Angeles in the 90s was the CIA. Not from opinion, but from what you know and your experience in the CIA and all that you saw. First, is the CIA the biggest illegal drug dealer in America, or drug pusher? Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yes. Yeah,
without question.
That what you're dealing with Gary Webb, of course, he was found supposedly committed suicide. He's working for the San Jose Times. He had previously won a Pulitzer Prize. We have a little section in the book here about him. And he was breaking that story that the Crips gangs were getting their cocaine in L.A. from Nicaraguan guys, and the Nicaraguan guys turned out to be getting it from CIA. But that's how they do. They use fronts. You know, biker gangs, cartels, whatever they got to do to get the drugs. I mean, look at Afghanistan. In 2017, they had the record, all-time world record production of opium. Okay, where are you going to sell that? Okay, that's one of the poorest countries in the world, and it has all that opium. Then over here in America, we have one of the biggest drug habits of any country in the world, and we've got all the money. So how are they going to get it from there to here? And, you know, we can talk more about all that. But the international drug trade is a big thing. The border wall down there, you know, that everyone's talking about now, the border wall is not going to make that big a difference until we deal with the underlying economic problems and the drugs. You know, that's what's fueling a lot of the migrant stuff and the illegal crime there. The cartels are middlemen. My girlfriend, one of my girlfriends, used to work in Miami, and she had dinner one night with Pablo Escobar. You know, he was the biggest drug coke dealer in the whole world. And I've been down through Colombia and all that on ops. But the CIA went down there and took over those operations. And they kicked out the Medellin and cartel and all the guys, Pablo Carrera, Jorge Ochoa, the Ochoa brothers, all of those guys were running the cartels, and then the CIA gradually took those businesses over, and the flow of drugs, who controlled them, was changed. But they need the stuff for the black ops, and they can't go to Congress and get money, you know, to run pedophile rings or sex slave rings around the country, or to murder or assassinate people in foreign countries extrajudiciously and unconstitutionally. So they need the black ops money, and drugs and arms are the two ways that they get that. But Gary Webb
is.
I just want to say I have friends that were in LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department. They were in the narcotics unit, been there 20 years. Good close friends of mine, like Michael Rupert. Some of your listeners may know him. You can Google some stuff up about him on the internet. But he knew Gary Webb personally, and he told me all kinds of stuff that they had CIA agents inside the LAPD, and whenever they were making busts, you know, they make busts on the lower guys, and then they start going up to the higher ones. The CIA guy would order them off of certain busts because those people were working as fronts or cutouts for the CIA's drugs. And so,
So the war on drugs was, an effort to cut off the competition, not to stop drugs. It was to kill competition.
Yeah, the war on drugs did several things. You know, they built up a big prison system here in the United States. The DEA was expanded. And on the one hand, the government, through the DEA, was trying to stop the drugs. And then on the other hand, you know, the above board or the white operations, that was DEA, you know, trying to stop the drugs. And then on the black or dark black ops part of it, the CIA is bringing them in. And they flew on plane loads of stuff in, Air Force bases, the stuff at the Mena Airport, you know, in Arkansas. We talked, there's a section in here about the book, how they use C-123s with Barry Seal as the contract pilot to bring up that stuff. So,
hold that thought. We got a break on the other side. Just quickly, yes or no, are the rumors about Clinton's true there in Arkansas?
Yes, a lot of the rumors.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. ThePowerHour.com. Cody Golden Elk at Yahoo.com. Cody, C-O-D-Y, Golden Elk at Yahoo.com. Please email him if you'd like a copy of his book, Choosing the Light. That's really what we're at, ladies and gentlemen. We can choose tyranny. We can choose freedom. We can choose Satanism. We can choose Christianity, the purest form of it. I mean, you're divinity or you're just an animal. I mean, all these things are juxtaposed against each other, and our choice is right here. And an illusion has been placed up upon us, in front of us, to make us see the world in a certain way. And it's really not true. It is not true. It is not true. And I've had so many people tell me, well, if this was true, then somebody would say something about it, or somebody would know. Well, somebody has said something about it. Somebody does know. There's hundreds of whistleblowers, very important whistleblowers. Cody Snodgrass is one of them. He gets marginalized. He gets censored. He gets what have you. Cody, maybe what's the most important thing about the drug trade? Don't go into too much detail, but about the drugs that we need to know, maybe don't know.
Boy, that's a really good question. The main thing is that clandestine black ops, they have to have funding sources. And they don't want Congress to know what they're doing a lot of times. And so they need black ops money to conduct their operations. And the best source of a lot of money real quick is drugs and arms. And so you find the CIA showing up again and again, like they did in Vietnam with the triad opium, you know, and they were smuggling some of that stuff back in the body cavities of our servicemen. There were multiply nested operations with CIA agent Ted Shackley and General Richard Secord. They later went to Costa Rica. But, you know, that in a nutshell, it's a worldwide business, you know, like a big octopus. And it's for money, and a lot of money real quick. That's where the big money is in drugs and arms. Then the pharmaceutical business, that's all the white ops, you know, Bayer, Lilly, Roche, all the pharmaceuticals. That's hundreds of billions of dollars every year on the white market. But the black market is a way to make a lot of money, and that's what they do, covert money. And then they can use it how they want and wash it through front companies and so forth.
Just to be clear, I asked you this before, but I want to ask you to be clear. The CIA is the biggest illegal drug dealer in this country. Is that true or false?
Well, I'd say it's true, but I want to qualify that. You know, not everyone in the CIA is involved in that. I mean, they're classified black operations. Some of them are not even sanctioned by the CIA, and there's individual people within it that's doing it. You know, so there's a lot of good people in the CIA, but you know, when you make a blanket caveat thing like that where it's just one thing, there are elements in the CIA that are heavily involved in like the opium from Afghanistan. And so they are.
So it's a it's a fragmented the framework that allows this to happen is it not necessarily, well, it's in the CIA, but it's subgroups of the CIA who are just, it's deep state operating under the guise or under the framework of the CIA. Maybe that's a better way to describe it.
Yeah, that would be a good way to describe it. But they're heavily involved in large quantities of, you know, the cocaine and the heroin and all that kind of stuff.
Let's talk about the media. For average, you know, mom and pop Smith that are sitting home and they go along, they watch Fox News at night or CNN at night and they just watch the news. How misled are they? How controlled really is the corporate media that we see?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, in the late 40s and the early 50s, television was replacing radio here in the U.S. And back then, you know, in 1948, Congress passed the Smith Month Act. It authorized the U.S. State Department to disseminate propaganda outside the United States, but specifically forbade it to do so inside. So in response to that, CIA cooked up its Operation Mockingbird. That was the code name, to control or penetrate our own U.S. media. And that operation was designed to plant disinformation in the media. And it was a classic counterintelligence tactic. And so, you know, there were a lot of people involved in this. The CIA efforts were headed up by Alan Dulles, Frank Wisner, Washington Post, Philip Graham, CIA Director Richard Helms, so forth, so on. And what they did was they planted media assets, they called them, which were 400 journalists. And they put them in Time, Newsweek, United Press International, ABC, CBS, NBC, UPI, Copley News Service, Scripps Howard, Associated Press, Hearst Newspapers, Reuters, etc. And so what they've done is performed a secret takeover of the media where they can control, first the CIA controls the information at the source, and then they can tweak it or twist it and leak it out through their contacts in the media and disseminate what they want the American people to know. An example, you know, the director of Central Intelligence, William Colby, he testified, I think that was at the Frank Church Committee in 75, I believe,
Yes. Yes, 75. Yes.
Yeah, 400 CIA agents were active in the U.S. media to help control the reported content in American mainstream magazines, newspapers, and TV. And so the point that you got to think about is that our information now, when you fast forward to 2019, Google, Facebook, Twitter, all the big telecom companies, Verizon, AT&T, they were all secretly penetrated after the 9/11 attacks, 2001, when George Bush Jr. covertly, he secretly ordered NSA to tap, and they used the fiber optic taps on all the telecom feeds. We have a section in the book here about Joe Nocio, who was a QS executive, and what happened to him when he wouldn't cooperate with this covert program to spy on Americans. And what happened to him, they planted him with false evidence, and he got sentenced to 6.5 years in prison. And so, anyway, to answer it in a nutshell, there has been decades of covert manipulation and control by CIA of our media. And now they've also worked with Microsoft and others to infiltrate and put backdoors in the software tap, the fiber optic cables, Verizon, AT&T. So we're under a massive deal of censorship on the one side, okay, and it's mostly covert censorship, and then also on the other side, a massive propaganda machine. And what we're facing here is the biggest information manipulation machine ever in the history of the world. And all the new technology and the new computers and the 5G that's coming out is really
the music. Hold tight.
Cool. Weaponized information control. If Adolf Hitler had this stuff, he would have used it and loved it.
We'll be right back. We'll continue right there with that point. Cody Snodgrass, the book, Choosing the Light.